Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. May his grace and peace be with you. May he fill our hearts with joy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. O come, let us worship. Alleluia. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed. O come, let us worship. Alleluia. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know, with certainty, that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 116, verses 1 to 4 and 12 to 19. Please join on the alternating bolded verses of the psalm. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his peoples, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise to the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the first letter of Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alleluia! Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death that he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So also consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia! Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Alleluia! The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and it concerns the account of Jesus' encounter with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They are leaving Jerusalem to head to a village about 7 miles away. As they walk along, a stranger comes alongside them. They don't recognize who he is because their eyes were kept from recognizing that it was Jesus. They're despondent. They'd hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But he was killed by the Romans and nothing happened. Perhaps they backed the wrong horse. It's time to move on with life and head elsewhere. However, they had heard this testimony from women earlier in the day. They were with the apostles, and the women rushed in and said, "They were at the tomb. They saw an angel. The angel told us that Jesus was alive." Peter ran out to see what was going on, and he didn't see anything. We think they must be delusional. We're too sophisticated for that nonsense. We're leaving. So off they went. Jesus then chastises them for failing to recognize what God had done based on the scriptures. So he begins explaining from Moses, from the Torah, through the prophets, in all the scripture, why Jesus had to die and rise again. Although their hearts were burning within them, they didn't quite understand what was going on. They're scratching their head trying to make sense of all of this. However, when they arrive in Emmaus, they realize it's getting late in the day, so they invite Jesus to come in and spend the night. They prepare the meal, they set it out, and Jesus takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. As he does this, their eyes are opened and they recognize that this is Jesus. As soon as they recognize his presence, he vanishes. What do? Their faith is restored. They return to Jerusalem. They tell the apostles what happened. And as they're doing that, Jesus appears to them a second time and then to the apostles who were gathered in the room. And they all have this great epiphany. Hey, it's actually true. Jesus is risen. We have seen him. Now, this story is only found in Luke, and it incorporates a number of important elements that one finds throughout Lucan theology. The first is the centrality of Jerusalem to the Lucan theological narrative. Temple holiness is now made available to the nations. Luke starts in the temple with John the Baptist's birth being announced to his father Zechariah. Then when Jesus is presented to the temple, soon after his birth, Simeon and Anna have prophetic statements about his role to redeem the nation. At age 12, Jesus is found in the temple when his parents are returning to Nazareth and can't find him. Then you have this wonderful narrative that begins in Luke 9:51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Then the material from Luke 9 to Luke 18:14 is this travel log concerning Jesus' travel to Jerusalem, where his fate will meet the destiny of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, he says, "Don't leave Jerusalem until Pentecost, until you've received the promise of the Holy Spirit. All of the appearances are in Jerusalem." In the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples are in the temple daily, teaching and worshiping. It's central to the whole Lucan narrative. Then with the Hellenistic Jewish Christians, with Stephen, the recognition is God doesn't dwell in the temple made by hands. From there through Antioch and then throughout the Greco-Roman world, the gospel is then brought to the nations. Temple holiness extends to the world. So Luke has a very much a temple spirituality, a Jewish spirituality, a holiness spirituality that links the temple to Christ, to the nations, to worship. It's a very deep and rich spirituality. Another theme is the Eucharistic theme, the idea of taking bread, breaking it after blessing it. You'll find that, of course, in the Last Supper. You'll also find Jesus breaking bread in the feeding of the 5,000 in Luke chapter 9. The idea of hospitality is found in Luke 14. It's a common Oriental and Jewish theme. The idea of recognition in Scripture, you'll find that in Acts chapter 8. Philip meets the Ethiopian court official, a eunuch, who's in a chariot reading Isaiah, doesn't understand what he's reading. Philip comes alongside, explains that this refers to Christ. He recognizes Christ and is baptized, and then Philip disappears. There's a fairly similar narrative structure to that. The other idea is after the disciples at Emmaus recognize Christ, what do? They repent. They return to Jerusalem, the scene of the action. They bear witness to Christ, bear witness to what they've seen. And that witness then is substantiated by Christ appearing again at that time. So I'll let you reread it and parse through it and try to just bathe in the richness of this wonderful text. It's quite appropriate during our time of pandemic. We are facing loss of loved ones. People are seriously ill on ventilators. Our seniors' residences have been devastated by this disease. People have lost their businesses, their livelihoods that they've spent their lives building up. Loss of employment. A lot of people's extracurricular activities have been curtailed. There have been challenges of staying at home. People could say, where is God in all of this? Where is Jesus? How could a God of love allow this to happen to us? Where is the presence of Christ in all of this? Today's gospel tells us something quite important. We may not recognize Christ on the dusty road to Emmaus. It may be mundane, it may be daily, it may be taken for granted. But he's with us. Make note that about that. How do we recognize his presence? The first mechanism was Scripture. Jesus opened the Scripture to them. In order to recognize God's presence, being rooted in Scripture is important. We've recognized this in the Anglican tradition, which has taken this from the monastic traditions going back to St. Benedict. We have a Book of Common Prayer. We have morning prayer, evening prayer, compline. We have a lectionary of biblical readings. And Anglican spiritual is rooted in that daily devotional life. And that's an important aspect of your life. The second is prayer and asking God to illuminate, open our eyes to see what God is doing around us, how we can contribute to the wellness, the wholeness, the flourishing of the whole, and giving us the strength to make that contribution. We need to ask God to help us and be sensitive and listen to God speaking to us so we can recognize what God is doing in our lives. The third is the breaking of the bread, the fellowship. We do this in communion as we gather together to support each other, to listen to each other, and to ensure that God reaches out through us to be a healing presence to those around us. So in this time of trial, it's important to rely on the foundational aspects of Scripture, prayer, fellowship, worship, and discernment. So I ask that during this time of trial, that you, with those on the road to Emmaus, recognize Christ's presence, that you rejoice in that presence, that you return to the fellowship of the saints and say, He's alive and He can make a difference in our lives. He can make all things new and give hope to the hopeless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time of pandemic and trial, lift up our eyes to you. Help us to see that we are bathed in your presence, in your love, that you surround us, you go before us, you make the path straight before us. Pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Send us out in the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can be a light to those around us, and that through us you can be a blessing and healing to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us confess our faith as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In joy and hope, let us pray to the source of all life, saying, Hear us, Lord of glory, that our risen Savior may fill us with the joy of his holy and life-giving resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that isolated and persecuted churches and all peoples may find fresh strength in the Easter gospel. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may grant us humility to be subject to one another in Christian love. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may provide for those who lack food, work, or shelter. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that by God's power, pandemics, wars, and famine may cease through all the earth. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may reveal the light of his presence to the sick, the weak, the dying, and the bereaved, that they may be comforted and strengthened. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory, that God may send the fire of the Holy Spirit upon the whole church, that we may bear faithful witness to Christ's resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Lord of glory. I invite you now to offer your own prayers and petitions to God. Hear us, Lord of glory. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith, that we may see him in his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thou hast had to say inside.
Alleluia. Go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.